For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has enjoyed many encouraging and helpful messages from our faculty and staff, as well as guest speakers. Today's Chapel Podcast is a recording from our archives.
I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Go to Daniel chapter number 6. One of my favorite characters in the Word of God is the guy that we're going to look at tonight, Daniel chapter number 6. If I took a poll tonight and I asked you, I know I would get 100% answer on this unless something was wrong. If I asked you this question and said, okay, how many of you guys, how many of you ladies like to get rewards? Well, everybody would raise their hand, obviously. And there's really three kinds of rewards. When I was thinking about that, there is a verbal reward. That simply means that somebody walks up to you and either pats you on the back, shakes your hand, or says, man, you did a great job. And everybody likes to be affirmed. I mean, that's just the truth. So there's a verbal reward. Then there's a second one. There's a visible reward. That could be a trophy. It could be something that you got because of sports or whatever, or somebody gives you a plaque and you receive this reward. Then the last kind of reward is what I really like. It's the valuable reward. Are you with me? It means somebody's given you some money, they've given you a check or something. But the truth of the matter is, whether it is a visible award, a verbal award, or a valuable award, the reason that you got these is because during that time in your life, you had a characteristic that was evident. In fact, if you didn't have this characteristic, you would have never received the reward. This characteristic involves many aspects of your life. In fact, if you don't have it in your schoolwork, you're going to fail. You don't have it in your job, you're going to get fired. If you don't have this characteristic in athletics, you're going to sit the bench or ride the pine, as we say. If you don't have it in your spiritual life, you're going to be miserable. If you don't have this quality in your life that I'm about to tell you, you will never be a success in man's eyes, but more importantly, in God's eyes. It's the quality of faithfulness. I want you to see Daniel chapter 6, because this is a great passage. And look with me in verse number 1, please, and see what the Bible says. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Now that is a really unique word there, the word preferred. We have a big Christmas event at our church, and we do this. Obviously, we have a two-night thing that happens at Mikado Baptist Church, and our goal is to get the public in there. We want to give them the gospel. And this happens every time. We always have the kids in the program, because if you have your kids in the program, it brings parents and grandparents, and it helps fill the auditorium, and so we'll always have kids in there. And I mean, it happens so many times that moms will dress their daughters in these pretty frilly little dresses that have something on them that, I'll be honest with you, I just can't stand. In fact, if you send me a card and I pull it out and it has this stuff all over it, I'm not going to like it. You know where I'm at. It's called glitter. Because if you get glitter on you, it's going to stick to your forehead. It's going to stick to your hands. It'll be all over your face. And people will look at you like you're really weird and won't say anything to you about it. Well, they'll put these frilly dresses on. And guess what the frilly dresses have on? They've got this glitter. And so we sit on the front row in our church, because I found out when I sat on the platform for me that I wound up taking attendance instead of worshiping. And so we sit on the front row, and our platform has just been enlarged. So we now have some room to do that, but we used to not have room. And so we sit on the front row. And I invariably would go and sit where one of those girls had sat for our Christmas play. And I would get up in my nice little dark suit and have glitter all over my backside. You say, what are you saying? Do you realize what the word preferred means in the text? It means to glitter from afar. In other words, Daniel was preferred. You could see him from afar off. So there was something different about it. Let's keep rolling with the text. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, verse number 3. And it says, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion. Here comes our word, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. I don't know where it is. I don't even know if it's there. But if you could find Daniel's tombstone, I would just happen to think that it would have one word carved across it. The word faithful. Because, my friend, faithfulness matters. Would you bow with me? Father, thank you for the incredible privilege of preaching the Word of God. I don't take it lightly. And Father, I pray tonight that somebody will be encouraged and helped by the Word of God, by the text we're reading, by the life of Daniel. Help us, Father, as we journey through the Scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look up the word faithful in the dictionary, it means this: loyal, accurate, or reliable. Daniel was a man that was reliable. You say, how do you know that? You just look at his resume. Chapter number 1, verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar says, choose you out of the best men among the children of Israel, of the king's lineage and the princes. They choose Daniel. You move to chapter 2. Daniel interprets dreams for Nebuchadnezzar. He's promoted to the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men. Chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You move on to chapter number 4. Daniel interprets another dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You get to chapter 5. He interprets the handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar, tells him his days are numbered, and then you get to the chapter we just read. And you'd think, man, this guy's worn out by now. He's ready to wave the white flag. He's ready to be done. But Daniel has other things on his mind. He's going to keep on keeping on for God. He's going to remain faithful. And my prayer and my desire for you as we get out of the gates, if we could say in these opening meetings, that at the end of this year, 2018, at the end of 2019, when some of you graduate, you can say, by God's grace and with His help, I've been faithful. I'm going to give you 2 points tonight. We're going home. Number one, the requirements for faithfulness. What are the requirements for faithfulness? I wrote down several things. Number one, I believe the first one is commitment. Commitment says, I will do it. It means not to be swayed. It means to bind as by a promise. Let me illustrate. If you ever have ridden a horse and buggy before, you'll see that on front of that horse, they have two little black things that are on the sides of the horse's eyes. They're called blinders. And the reason those things are there, that if that horse is going down the road and all of a sudden a car honks or something goes by it, they want that horse to stay focused and not to bolt and scare the riders half to death. It is to keep that horse focused. I have a private pilot's license, as I shared with you, and one of the things that my instructor told me back when I was learning to fly, he said there are two critical things when you're landing an airplane that you got to make sure that you're very aware of and you stay focused, and that is altitude and airspeed. Because without either one of those, you will die. You must be careful that you watch those. That's the idea of the word commitment. I am focused towards something. It says, I will do it. The question then is, what was Daniel committed to? Well, hit reverse. Go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I wrote down number one, he was committed to a purpose. Now, let me illustrate again. The word purpose means this. It means to set or plant. I helped coach football when I was in a Christian school, and to help coach one of the teams. And one of the things that we taught the guys on the line was this, that whenever you stood on the line and the other guys are on the other side, put your feet as close as you can together and then you bend down. Man, if you did that, you'd get knocked over like a bowling pin in a bowling alley. We didn't teach our guys that. We said, you make sure that you have a good stance. You make sure that when that ball is hiked, that you can fire off the ball and you can either make a hole so that the guy can run through or go get the quarterback. You see, that's the idea of the word set or plant. Daniel purposed. Well, what did he purpose? He purposed to do right. I love what they tried to do with these guys. Look at verse number 7. They changed all of their names. And I thought to myself, they changed their names, but they didn't change their nature. They changed what they were called, but they didn't change their character. What can the world get you to do? What has the world already gotten you to do? What is your purpose in life? You see, my friend, every single one of us is here has a purpose that God has given us. Daniel realized his purpose, number one, was to do right. Number two, it was to be right. You say, how do you know that? Look in verse number 6 of chapter 1. Three little words. Now, among these. You say, what do you mean by that? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't the only guys around. There were other people. In other words, people are watching you and they're watching what you do. On the beach was an elderly man. The guy was up on a hotel balcony. He was watching this elderly man. He really didn't know what the guy was doing. And the elderly man would bend down and he would pick up something and he would throw it back. And finally, the curiosity of the guy up on the balcony got the best of him. So he goes down and he asks this old man who's on the beach. He said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "you see, the tide washes these starfish in tide here." He said, "I'm taking these starfish and I'm throwing them back in so they won't die." And the guy that was up on the balcony, he was talking to him and said, well, sir," he said, "there's hundreds of miles of beach and there's thousands of starfish." He said, "What difference can you make?" He said, the old man didn't say anything. He just bent down once again and he picked up a starfish and threw it back in. And he said, "It just made a difference to that one." You say, "Brother Rusty, you say, what difference can I make?" May I say to you tonight that if one person is impacted by your faithfulness, thank God. And if nobody is impacted by your faithfulness, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is watching every single thing that we do. Faithfulness does matter. My youth pastor was Morris Gleister. Morris Gleister said he was getting ready one day for church. And as he was getting ready, his wife had dressed his little boy Andy just like him. He said, "I'm in a hurry to get ready." My little boy, Andy, 3 years old, waddles up to him and he says, "Hey, Daddy." He says, "I got a tie on just like you." He said, "I know, son, you really look sharp." He said, my boy came back a few minutes later and he said, "Hey, Daddy." "What, son?" He said, I got a tie on. Or he said, "I got a shirt on just like you." He said, "I know, son, you really look sharp." And he said, my boy came back the third time. It was really getting old by now. And he said, "Hey, Daddy." He said, what is it, son?" He said, "Daddy, I got a coat on just like you." He said, "I know, son." He said, "You really look sharp." He said, my boy started to walk away. And he said, what he said next, I'll never forget. "Hey, Daddy." He said, "I want to be just like you." And then he said, the next phrase that he said is etched into his mind. My little 3-year-old boy, after he said, "Daddy, I want to be just like you," said this: "Does that make you proud of me? If somebody was just like you, would God be proud? If somebody followed you today, if somebody followed you this week, would God be able to say that is somebody who has a desire to be faithful in their life? Do you want to serve God?" Daniel was committed to a purpose, to do right and to be right. Commitment says, "I will do it." Number two, he was committed to a person. Chapter 2, verse 20. Look at the text, if you will. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to see what the Bible says. Verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Verse 20, "Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever." You know what his desire was? His desire was that God be pleased. Can I ask you an honest question that I can say to myself? How do you think God feels when an invitation is being played? "Just as I am without one plea." God's pricking your heart. Holy Spirit's convicting you. You come forward. You kneel and you say, "God, I commit this to you. God, I want to make sure that I make this decision for you." How do you think God feels when that decision is broken the very first time that temptation hits? You see, what God is looking for is people who are committed to a purpose. They are faithful. They are committed to a person. It was Hudson Taylor, the great missionary who carried the gospel to the interior of China. He was approached after the service by a man with one leg. And Hudson Taylor said, "I watched this guy on one crutch and he's walking up to me." And he said, the guy walked up to him and he said, "Reverend Taylor," he said, "I want to go to China to be a missionary." And Reverend Taylor, Hudson Taylor, looked at him. He said this. He said, "Sir," he said, "why do you think that you can go to China?" He said, "You only have one leg." And he said, the man looked at him and said, "Sir, I don't see anybody with two good legs going." My question to you is, what's your excuse? See, I've heard people all throughout the years, "God would never use me." Moses couldn't speak well. God used him. David's armor didn't fit. God used him. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Solomon was rich. Abraham was old. David was young. Timothy probably had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus was dead. Hello. You say, "Wait a minute, God won't use me." Naomi was a widow. John was self-righteous. Did I mention that Paul and Moses were both murderers? And Paul was probably half blind. Jonah ran from God. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was loud. Martha was a worrywart. Did I mention that Moses had a very short fuse, and so did Peter? And God used every single one of them. Don't you tell this preacher from Georgia, God can't use me, because he can. He made you. You see, commitment says, I will do it. When I feel like quitting in the middle of the semester, when you're homesick as all get out right now, you say, God, you called me here and I'm going to be faithful. Commitment says, I'll do it. Daniel was committed to a purpose. He was committed to a person. But I like this. Chapter 6, verse 3. One of my favorites. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible says this. Look at it with me, if you will. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. I wrote down number 3. He was committed to praise. Let me tell you, friend, he would have made an awesome Chick-fil-A employee. No question about it. He would my pleasure you to death, I promise you. I mean, this guy was the guy that you'd want to hire. And may I just stop and say this? You and I, we were talking, Pastor Redland and I, about all the blessings that God has given us. In fact, we were walking up here to the stage, just about to walk through those doors. And I told Pastor Redland and Brother Tim, I said, you know what? Isn't it amazing that God is seeing fit to use us as little as we are today in this ministry? I mean, God wants, as I said on Sunday night, God wants the best for us. And let me tell you, there ought to be not one person in here who doesn't realize that God, even though I may be going through a hard time, I need to realize that I need to be committed to praise. There's nothing worse than a Christian with a bad attitude. You may have heard of the farmer who had a negative neighbor. I mean, this guy, if it was sunny outside, the positive farmer would go to the negative neighbor, the other farmer beside him, and he'd say, man, look at this sun. Isn't God good? And the negative guy would say to him, he said, yeah, but if it keeps on coming, it's going to scorch our crops. Man, it'd be raining cats and dogs the next day. The positive farmer would go to the negative guy and say, hey, look at all this rain. Isn't God good? And the negative guy would say, yeah, but if it keeps on raining, it's going to flood everything. He said, man, how can I get this guy to be positive? So he took him duck hunting. They got in a boat together, both of them, and sure enough, he had a shotgun across his knees. He had a dog there that he had trained, and they're in the boat there. They're going duck hunting, and two ducks go across the sky there, and he takes his shotgun. The positive guy does. He shoots them both down. They land in the water, and the dog jumps out of the boat to go get those ducks. Here's the issue. The dog walked on top of the water. He had trained his dog to walk on the water. That dog goes across that water. He gets both of those ducks. He comes back in the boat. The only thing that is wet is the bottom of his paws. The positive guy looks at the negative guy and he says, what do you think of my dog? He says, can't swim, can he? Now, friend, I don't know about you, but I hope that's not you. I guarantee it wasn't a guy named Daniel. You say why? Because he was committed. He was committed to a purpose. He was committed to a person. He was committed to praise. You see, requirements for faithfulness, number one is commitment. Commitment says, I'll do it. But number two, consistency. Consistency says, I will do it over and over again. You say, how do you know that? Chapter 6, verse 10. Look at that with me. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. I love the next phrase, as he did aforetime. What does he do? He kneels. He opens his windows toward Jerusalem and he prays to his God just like he always did, even when it was tough. There was a guy who made a sculpture of Jesus. He wanted his buddy to see it. He covered it with a sheet. He had that sheet over that sculpture of Jesus, and he brought his friend over and he pulled the sheet off of it. And he said, well, what do you think of Jesus? He looked at it and it was a statue of Jesus, and Jesus was bent down like he's looking at the floor. The guy said, well, that's really a nice sculpture. He said, but I can't see his face. He said, if you want to see his face, you got to get on your knees. And Daniel knew all about getting on his knees. Do you? You see, if you're committed to being faithful, you talk to God. Commitment says, I will do it. Consistency says, I will do it over and over again. My son Scott, I've used this illustration in other venues here, but my son Scott used to like to lift weights. He may still do it, I don't know. But he'd call me on occasion. He said, Dad, will you come out? And on the back porch, we had a weight bench. And he said, Dad, would you spot me? And basically what that meant was I would stand behind him, and in case he couldn't lock his arms anymore when he's doing the bench press, then I would pull the weights up so it wouldn't crush him. So my son comes to me one day and he says, Dad, he said, can you spot me? I said, sure, son. So I go outside. He's got just the bar on there. Now, a bar weighs between 5 and 15 pounds, depending on what kind of bar you have. He's got just the bar on there. He sits on the weight bench. He gets his hands across where he you know, exactly where you need to, and he's psyching himself out. He's got just the bar on there. He's 18 years old, 5 to 15 pounds. I mean, he's ready. I mean, he said, all right, Dad, I'm ready. And I'm thinking, okay, son, you got just the bar on there, boy. Unless you do 1,000 reps or something, nothing's going to happen. That's not what happened, though. My son, before he called me out there, slapped 250s on there, put some 25s, put some 15s, some 10s, some 5s. He locked the collars down on both sides. And when my son called me out of there, he was already on the bench. And he was there. And I could see him as he put his hands apart where you're supposed to. And I could see him psych himself out so that he could do a bench press. You say, what are you getting at? Pressure makes you stronger. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My friends, so many times we'll do more for a ball team than we will for God. We'll run laps. We'll get up early in the morning when, my friend, and nothing wrong with doing ball and nothing wrong with sports. But let's get our focus right, my friends, and realize God needs to be number one in our lives. You see, my friend, consistency says I will do it over and over again. Somebody said this, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Be doing something for God. Daniel was committed. Commitment says, I will do it. Consistency says, I will do it over and over again. Look at the text here. Daniel chapter 6, please, in verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find an occasion for as much as he was faithful. Move to verse 16, please, of Daniel 6. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said, I love this phrase, thy God whom thou servest, say it out loud if you're with me. That's about three of you. Let's try it again. Thy God whom thou servest continually. In other words, Daniel knew what it meant to serve God faithfully in his life. He realized it took commitment. Commitment says, I'll do it. It took consistency. Consistency says, I'll do it over and over again. And number three, it's going to cost him. Cost says this. I'll do it over and over again, no matter what happens. I'll be faithful to God no matter what happens. You know the story. You heard it from the time you were a wee little kid, most of you. What happens to him? He loses his freedom. He lost his privileges. He couldn't do what he wanted to do anymore. Some of you won't be faithful because you're going to have to give up something. God wants all of us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He lost his finances. He lost his position, his power, his pension. He was stripped of everything. Why? Because being faithful to his God was more important than anything in his life. Can I stop right here and ask you this question? Is there anything on your shelf that is above God? Is there anything in your life that you need to take down and say, God, my priorities are messed up right now. God, I need to put you back on top and I need to put that down. Daniel realized that if I'm going to serve God, it's going to cost me. But I want to give you number two. Are there rewards for faithfulness? I'm so glad God always takes care of his own. You see, while the requirements are consistency, our commitment consistency, and it will cost you, the rewards, I wrote down number one, are contentment. When you and I are faithful to God, there is nothing like the peace that God can give us. You say, how do you know he had peace? Well, look in verse 16 again. The king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. You say, how do you know he had peace? Here's how I know. Because he never would have prayed in verse 10 if he didn't know one of two things. Number one, if those lions ate him, he was going to heaven. Like the song says, I'm going to heaven, can't wait. And for you that are as old as I am, he would realize, number two, that if I live, I will be in Sunday school classes on flannel graph boards for the rest of my life. Here's Daniel and here's the lion's den. You can't lose, my friend, when you're faithful. You see, there was contentment, there was peace, but number two, there was protection. We know what the Bible says, chapter 19, verse 20. Look what it says. Then the king arose, very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And Pastor Jeff, if you're anything like me, I would have probably done my youth pastor thing. And here's what I would have done. I probably would have made that guy squirm a little bit because he threw me in the den of lions. You say, what would you have done? I'd have hid behind one of those lions, behind his big old face and his mane, and said, big boy, don't you move. I'd have made that guy squirm a little, but that isn't what he does. Look in verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Why could he say that? Because there was a king greater than him. He was serving a king to whom he had allegiance to. He had peace. He had protection. And by the way, Proverbs 31:23 says, the Lord preserveth the faithful. But number three, he had provision. Chapter 6, look with me, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You see, my friend, he had provision. Don't ever forget this verse. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. God's going to take care of you. Is there a reward for being faithful? Absolutely. There's contentment. But I believe number two, there's a crown. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 talks about striving for masteries, yet is he not crowned. And I believe, as was said recently, we'll take those crowns that God gives us and we'll put them at Jesus' feet. We'll be thankful that we have the opportunity to give what's automatically his. 1 Corinthians 9:25 talks about an incorruptible crown. Once again, I believe there's a crown for faithfulness. We'll take that crown and we'll put it at Jesus' feet. The question is, will you have any? If you're not faithful, you won't. You see, my friend, God wants to take care of us. He wants for us to be content. He wants to give us a crown. But number three, there's a commendation. I believe with all of my heart, the Bible is very clear about this. Several years ago, my dad, who's 77, as I mentioned the other day, wrote me. And he wrote me an email. Here's what he said. He said, son, I want you to know how proud I am of you. And let me tell you, even at my age back then, I was in my late 40s. I took that email and looked at it in my office, and tears started to come in my eyes because I realized that I made my dad happy. I made my dad proud. And at my age, it still meant something to me. My mom, when I was in college, my mom wrote me, Box TK, 1125, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37404, and I would get my mail in the Sharp building. My mom wrote me every day of college for 5 years. Every day. You say you're a mama's boy. I will meet you out back. Those are fighting words, bud. You can call me whatever you want, but I wouldn't trade that commendation for anything. I don't agree with the circles that David Ring runs in. David Ring has cerebral palsy. But David Ring says this in one of his messages, and I'll try to sound like it. Here's what he says. When God pulls me out of the oven, I want him to say, well done. You know what? That's what I want. I hope that's what you want. You're not seated in a seat right now just because it's some random thing. God has you here. My encouragement to you is, don't you quit. You be faithful to God. Stay in His Word. Stay in prayer. Do right. Keep your life clean. God will take care of you. God will reward you. There's an interesting story shared in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I love it. It's concerning faithfulness. King David and his men are away at battle. And basically, while they're away, their foes come in and they lay the city of Ziklag in ashes. They carry away the wives and the sons and the daughters of the absent soldiers. And when the men returned, they were so overwhelmed with grief. The Bible says they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, I've seen people like that in the ministry who have cried so much there's no more cry in them. The Bible says that David said, all right, boys, we're going to get the Navy SEALs. I'm getting some of my toughest men. They select 600 of the best guys they can out of the whole of that group. And they say, all right, we're going to go get back everything that's rightfully ours. When they get to the brook Besor, B-E-S-O-R, 200 of the men are so faint that they can't go on. And so David says, basically, you men stay here and you mind the Samsonite luggage while the 400 of us are going to go on and we're going to go get back our wives, sons and daughters. And they go and they, 400 of them, get everything back. It's an incredible spoil, an incredible victory. And when they get back to the other 200 men who are by the luggage, those 400 guys don't want to share in the spoil. Oh, they can have their wives and their sons and daughters back, but you're not getting what we've stripped those soldiers of. You're not getting the riches. And David made an incredible statement about faithfulness. Don't miss this. He said, as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. They shall part alike. You know what David said? He said, not all are equally strong, but everybody can be faithful. Everybody can. My favorite illustration still makes the ESPN highlight reels even to this day. It's an NFL football game. It was played between Dallas and Green Bay. In fact, if Green Bay scored, they're right on the line there, they were going to the Super Bowl. If Dallas held them, they were going to the Super Bowl. And the incredible coach, Vince Lombardi, calls a timeout. He calls a timeout and Bart Starr, the famous quarterback, runs over to the sideline to Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi says this. He says, I want you to run the play over Jerry Kramer. Bart Starr says, okay, coach, I got it. He starts to run back out to the huddle to tell the team what the play is. And Vince Lombardi calls him back and he says, you tell Jerry Kramer this whole game rides on him. Bart Starr goes to the huddle. He tells Jerry Kramer, tells the guys the rest of the play. In fact, interviewed later, the Dallas Cowboys said, we knew exactly where the play was coming to because you could see it in the eyes of Jerry Kramer. He said they hiked the ball to Bart Starr. Jerry Kramer knocked a hole that you could drive a Mack truck through. He said Bart Starr went across the goal line and there was pandemonium. I mean, the place started going crazy. Jerry said, I'm at the bottom of the pile. He said, as soon as I get up and finally get these other guys off of me, I look up and they have Bart Starr on their shoulders and everybody is screaming, Bart, Bart, Bart. He says, wait a minute. I made the hole. Without me, we're not going to the Super Bowl. Jerry Kramer says, I started to go to the sideline. He said, and then I saw him. Vince Lombardi was over there with his shoulders, with his arms folded just like this, his shoulders facing Jerry Kramer. He said, and then I watched as Vince Lombardi unfolded his arms and he did this. He said, the one that mattered knew what I did. He said, I started running back to that huddle. He said, I went right up where all those guys were lifting Bart up. And he said, I started yelling, Bart, Bart, Bart. And I thought to myself, one of these days it's going to be over for all of us. And wouldn't it be awesome if God gave you and I a thumbs up and said, well done, because the one that mattered saw what we did. He will. If in your life, faithfulness matters. My question to you, will you be faithful? Would you?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.